it was good to touch the waters of baptism this morning. To feel that water on my fingers was important to me. On Wednesday, early in the morning, a man died on the steps of this church. It was not 50 feet from this spot. He set down a small backpack full of his possessions. He lay down to sleep for the night beneath a gray and confetti-colored blanket. And there he died. What do we know, and what can we Christians say of him? Little and much. We know that his name was Michael, and that he was 57 years old, which is all too little. And we know that he has swum out into the ocean of death and out beyond the horizon, which is almost too much. For the power of death is vast like an ocean, and its waves can seem to sweep away all that a person is. It seems that Michael died in poverty. But that has been swept away. Death is no respecter of wealth. Wealthy and poor alike are equal in being subject to death, afforded nothing either better or worse than any other in death. Death is no respecter of the greatness or ordinariness of a person. What we count as great and what we count as ordinary, death counts as the same. Father Abraham, and Miriam the prophet, and Mary the mother of the Lord, and David the king of Israel, and Paul the apostle of grace, and Michael who died on these steps, and even the Lord Jesus himself, all are claimed by the same death, equally. There is only one death, the same for all, rich or poor or great or lowly. This world and all its things are swept away from us in death. And that our wealth and rank and fame are gone is quite beneath the dignity of the dead to notice. It seems Michael died in poverty, but that has been swept away. So what can we say of him as Christians? Perhaps, though material distinctions are wiped away, perhaps something of Michael's moral standing might still be said to exist. Was he blameless in how he had lived, or had he hurt people? Did he have regrets for an unkind word spoken, or did he always, without ceasing, build others up? Had he broken trust or always been faithful? Had he spilled blood, or was he a man of peace? All of that, too. All of that, too, is wiped away. For death is no respecter of innocence, nor a punisher of guilt. If guilt and regret follow a person all their life, if guilt follows a person for all their life, like a relentless bloodhound, those hounds have no choice but to give up the chase when faced with the broad and never-ending sea of death. Any wrong that we may have done in life cannot follow us in death. The cross of Christ has made this so. The cross of Christ has made this so. For in the cross of Christ, God forgave humankind. God forgave humankind the very worst sin imaginable, the killing of God's own Son. It was not beyond the forgiveness of God to forgive humankind for this. So whatever we have done in life, it is certainly within God's power to forgive us. And God is ever more ready to forgive than we are even to ask for forgiveness. God's forgiveness is upon us when we have not done anything to deserve it. This is what we Christians mean when we talk about grace. Michael is under the grace of God. Any wrong he may have ever done is swept away. He is quite blameless now, justified in God's sight, redeemed back from anything that may have held him captive. Guilt over what has been done, regret for what might have been, these are a matter for the living. These are a matter for the living. The dead, embraced by the ocean-deep waters of eternity, they have no more need of past or future. What has been done is done, and quite unable to disturb the serenity of the dead. But if wealth or rank does not follow us, and if morality does not follow us, what is there left after death? What about the great matters of the spirit? Michael was 57 years old, certainly long enough to have contemplated all the great matters of the spirit. For who among us has not wondered, why do terrible things happen to good people? Or how did the universe come to be, and what was there before there was anything? What shall become of me when I die? What can be said of God that is true? Michael was 57 years old, certainly long enough to have contemplated all the great matters of the Spirit. Surely these must have some bearing, give some guidance for us once we embark out onto the ocean-black depths of death's mysteries. No. No, even these will come to an end. So we read from the pages of Holy Scripture. As for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge of the holy, it will come to an end. The Bible says that it is like we are looking at something through a mirror in dim light. We may glimpse it. We may catch a glimpse of it, but no matter how closely we apprehend what is in the mirror, it is still an image. We cannot grasp it. Now we squint and strain for a glimpse of God in the mirror. Then we shall feel the warmth of God's arms embracing us face to face. And held in the embrace of God's arms, it shall make no difference what we thought we saw in the mirror. What is only partial shall fall away. Michael has swum out beyond the ocean depths of darkness and embraced now the light. A light that we can but dimly see, a dawn yet still more glorious than the sun of the morning. Wealth. Wealth cannot abide with us in death. What we have done in the world, good or bad, cannot abide with us in death. What we have known of God in the world of the Spirit, they cannot abide with us in death. What then is left? What remains? What came along with Michael across that ocean? What can follow any of us when, not if, when we must make our own crossing? Faith, hope, and love, these three. And the greatest of these is love. We read. Faith abides even in death. Faith, which is not what we believe about God, but rather God's faithfulness to us. God's faithfulness abides with Michael. God never breaks God's promises. And God has promised that it will be God's own hand that will wipe away the tears from every eye. God's faithfulness abides, even in death. Hope. Hope abides 2. Hope abides even in death. Hope, which is not our desires for what might be. But hope, which is God's sure knowledge of the good that is possible. God's sure knowledge of the good that is possible because God has planted that goodness within us and so knows that it is there. That is the ground of God's hope. Not the chance that things might be better, but the certainty that at our root, people are good because God is good and we are God's children, made in the very image and likeness of God. Hope abides, even in death. The greatest of these two, love. Love abides, even in death. The love we hold for one another, yes. The love God has for all people, yes. These things are truly love and can follow us, but the love which abides, which is the reason these exist, that love is the very essence of God. Love is the very essence of God. God is love, and out far beyond into the ocean of death, out beyond pain, out beyond sorrow, out beyond time and beyond eternity, there is a farther shore. There is a greater light, and it is the very being of God. And to enter into the very being of God, that is to have all distinctions wiped away. There shall be no wealth or rank, so that all might be spared the indignity of trying to purchase that which is priceless. There shall be no guilt or shame, so that all might be spared the indignity of trying to be worthy of that which is beyond worth. There shall be no knowledge, so that all might be spared the indignity of trying to claim understanding of the incomprehensible. None can boast, and none must beg, and none must grovel, and none can bargain. For God is love, and love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Our eternal destination is nothing more and nothing less than the very being of God, who is all in all. We shall belong to the very being of God, and the being of God will belong to us. Out on the far shore, beyond death, we will be with God, and we will be of God, and within God. And we shall be home, a mansion with many rooms, a city with many gates, a realm not made by hands. Behold, I show you a mystery. On Wednesday, early in the morning, a man died on the steps of this church, not 50 feet from this spot. He set down a small backpack full of his possessions, lay down to sleep for the night beneath a gray and confetti-colored blanket, and there he died. What do we know, and what can we as Christians say of him? Little and much. We know that his name was Michael, that he was about 57 years old, which is all too little. And we know that just as all of us will, he has swum out into the ocean of death and out beyond the horizon. He is our brother. He is a beloved child of God. God never broke faith with Michael, and God never lost hope for Michael, and God never stopped loving Michael. And you, whoever you are, whatever you may have done in life, whatever you believe or don't of the matters of the Spirit, the mystery of the Christian faith is that even to the end of the age, God will never break faith with you, and God will never lose hope in you, and God will never, never stop loving you. For God is love. Hallelujah.